Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAI, Argentina to the World in English. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio, broadcasting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, on the frequency of 5800 kilohertz. We are also transmitting via internet on our website, rai.com.ar. I'm Fernando Farias, and I'm bringing you the weekly edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English. We continue to produce programs and content from home as social distancing measures remain in place in Argentina in the context of the coronavirus pandemic. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you can find all kinds of content originally produced by RAI in 8 languages. If you want to get a special QSL card on the occasion of the centennial of Argentine radio broadcasting, you have time to get it by sending us your reception report to the regular email address. Send your reception report to qslrai@gmail.com and you'll be able to receive this special, to get this special digital centennial QSL card by RAI Argentina to the World. On today's program, we're gonna be sharing with you a feature produced by RAI's director Adrián Corol on the role of radio stations in context of conflict, in context of revolution, war. The radio, we live in danger. Okay, let's get started with a little bit of music. Recently, Radio Nacional, Argentina's public broadcaster, launched a series of interviews that they are calling the Federal Interviews, in which journalists from all over the country take part in an online interview with a personality. This series began with an interview with President Alberto Fernandez a couple of months ago. RAI Argentina to the World took part in that collective interview. Marcelo Chelo Ayala of the Italian program joined that interview. He interviewed the president in Spanish. But he represented RAI in this very nice initiative that has journalists from the 49 stations spread across the country of Radio Nacional interviewing once a week via Zoom some important figure of politics or the arts. And the latest edition of this interview was with Pedro Aznar, one of the most respected musicians from Argentina. You can check this content out on rai.com.ar. And here's Pedro Aznar with a song in which he sings and plays the bass. It's called Mientes.
Si la culpa de todo me has echado. lágrimas de amor te alejan cada vez más. Es que de verdad no hay nada. ¿Será que esta vez es el fin? Si yo puedo testiguar. Mientes, en mí te hace falta hablar. Mientes, y a todos me llorar. Calla, ya no te rendirá.
A very beatlesque sound in that track by Pedro Aznar, who was interviewed by a Radio Nacional journalist from all over the country online, and you can enjoy a little bit of that interview on our website translated into English. That's him.
Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
This is Pedro Aznar live at the Teatro Gran Rex. Aznar is a multi-instrumentalist, but most Argentines remember him as the bass player for a very, very successful and popular band here in Argentina, Serú Girán, with a lifespan between the late 70s and early 1980s. That was a supergroup that was deemed labeled the Argentine Beatles, that was also integrated by legendary rock stars Charly García and David Lebón, with drummer Oscar Moro, in which a very young Pedro Aznar played the bass and sing backing vocals and sang lead vocals in some songs. But Aznar is also a guitar player, a keyboard player, he can play drums, he's a born and very gifted musician. As a matter of fact, he left Serú Girán in the early 1980s because he was invited to join Pat Metheny group, and he moved to the US and studied at Berklee School of Music for some time. Rai Argentina to the World presents The Radio We Lived in Danger. Marking a century of Argentine broadcasting is the perfect excuse to remember some sounds. These are memories that take us back to familiar voices and melodies reaching us through a Noblex Carina receiver or a Spica receiver. The one with the leather case that had a smell that just by closing your eyes you can go back to those days. As it always happens, there is another story behind all this. The story of radio used as a political tool. We're talking about the radio of crisis, the radio of conflict, the radio of war. It's a kind of radio that you listen to loudly and in the morning while making breakfast in the kitchen. It's a kind of radio that you listen to it by hiding in the dark and with headphones. There is another radio, the radio that we lived in danger. And the first we are going to remember is the radio station La Pirenaica. After the Spanish Civil War, an anti-Franco station run by the Communist Party of Spain came on the airwaves. Radio España Independiente, that went down in history as La Pirenaica, since it was implied that the antennas of the station were located somewhere in the Pyrenees. This station was on the air for 36 years, between 1941 and 1977. But it actually broadcast from the Soviet Union, and then, during the final years, from Romania, with antennas always aiming at Spain. There were almost 108,000 propaganda broadcasts, whose scripts are stored in more than 3,000 volumes, including thousands of letters that listeners covertly sent to mail addresses located in Western European countries. And these addresses were changing all the time to prevent reprisals from Franco's dictatorship agents. La Pirenaica's programs, which were heard at night in a very, very low, because listeners were afraid of being caught by the dictatorship, included speeches by La Pasionaria or Santiago Carrillo, interviews with Rafael Alberti, or music by Joan Manuel Serrat. This is a recording of one of the broadcasts by La Pirenaica.
Habla Radio España Independiente, Estación Pirenaica.
Al comenzar mi breve discurso me dirijo a todos, a usted también, Pilar Primo de Rivera, hermana de José Antonio. ¿Qué es extraño que una comunista se dirija a una falangista?
Well, that's a recording of one of the broadcasts by La Pirenaica, this radio station that aimed, that targeted Spain during the Franco dictatorship. The next station we're going to be remembering is related to Cuba. It's been a while since Radio El Mundo stopped being what it was. However, back in 1958, one of its journalists, we're talking about Radio El Mundo of Buenos Aires, and we're talking one of the journalists that worked for that station, Jorge Ricardo Massetti, traveled to Cuba, and their goal was to interview Fidel Castro and Ernesto Che Guevara, who were in camping in Sierra Maestra during the Revolutionary War against the dictatorship of Fulgencio Batista. Up until then, the voices of Che and Fidel were unknown to the general public, including Cubans. So obtaining those interviews was an event of such magnitude that Rodolfo Walsh, one of the most respected journalists of all time here in Argentina, deemed Massetti's work in Cuba as the most important feat of Latin American journalism in the 20th century, period. Unfortunately, that material, because of different circumstances, could not be broadcast in full by Radio El Mundo in Buenos Aires because part of the recordings were lost. So, El Mundo's journalist returned to Cuba, returned to Sierra Maestra, and redid the interviews, which could then be listened to here in Argentina and in other countries of the continent, even Cuba, via Radio Rebelde, the mythical station founded by Che Guevara, that is still on the air.
Doctor Guevara, ¿por qué está aquí luchando en Cuba? Desde hace tiempo me he convencido de que toda América es una sola.
That's Massetti interviewing Che Guevara. Doctor Guevara, why you're here in Sierra Maestra? He addresses Che as Dr. Guevara because Che, as you all know, was a medical doctor. And, well, Che Guevara says on this interview with Radio El Mundo that he considered the whole of Latin America to be one single country, and that's why he joined Castro's fight against Batista dictatorship. We are sharing some historic sound bites, recordings by radio stations or from radio stations that broadcast in context of crisis, in context of conflict. Is part of a feature produced by Adrián Corol called The Radio We Lived in Danger. And the next station we are going to remember is Chile Listens, Chile Escucha. You know, on September 11, 1973, one of the best radio soundbites was aired. Maybe the best radio message of all time. That was Salvador Allende's last speech, the Chilean president that was overthrown by the coup d'etat headed by Augusto Pinochet. That radio soundbite that you can find on YouTube, the final speech by Allende, was aired originally by Radio Magallanes. The addresses transmission, the recording, the rescue, and the copying, it's a cinematic story that demonstrates the importance of radio operators. That same night, the night of the coup, the broadcast of Escucha Chile, Chile Listens, began. This was, as a matter of fact, a program produced by Radio Moscow that every night, until the last day of the Pinochet dictatorship in 1990, brought to Chileans a voice of solidarity. The audience numbers were pretty high, and the popularity of La Mosca, as the station was known, was based on the fact that programs covered local current events in detail, despite that they were being broadcast from more than 15,000 kilometers away. One of the best kept secrets to make this possible in times when there was no internet was the operation of a clandestine journalistic team here in Buenos Aires that worked for Chile Listens. From a newsroom in the Argentine capital, a group of journalists led by Isidoro Gilbert was the Buenos Aires connection of Escucha Chile, acting as a bridge between the USSR and Chile and generating content for this station.
Radio Moscú comienza su diario programa para Chile.
Escucha Chile.
Las noticias que la Junta esconde y prohíbe.
Escucha Chile. The news that the Junta, the dictatorship, tries to keep hidden from the public.
Un programa de Radio Moscú.
Next, we've got the Montoneros in Costa Rica. In 1979, the Montoneros guerrilla of Argentina set up a shortwave station in Costa Rica. At this time, the junta was in power in Argentina and the Montoneros leadership exiled. This station was called Radio Noticias del Continente, News of the Continent, and it transmitted with antennas aimed at our country on the 31-meter band, despite constant international jamming by transmitters in Argentine territory. The radio station played a vital role in El Salvador, airing, for example, the last mass, the last ceremony, headed by Monsignor Arnulfo Romero, who was killed during this mass. And the station also aided the Sandinista Front in Nicaragua to coordinate actions. There are numerous declassified documents that indicate how concerned was the Argentine dictatorship with these transmissions. There were two terrorist attacks on the station carried out by Nicaraguan Contras and agents of Argentina's military intelligence. One of the actions, for example, was dropping an explosive device from a plane that did not go off. Eventually, the station's broadcast license was revoked by Costa Rican authorities, and this station, run by Montoneros, came off the air.
Radio Noticias del Continente presenta una nueva edición informativa.
Emitiendo para todos los pueblos de Latinoamérica y el mundo, desde San José, República de Costa Rica.
There was a bit of the broadcast by Radio Noticias del Continente, a radio station, a shortwave station run by Montoneros, the Argentine guerrilla group, in the late 1970s, set up in Costa Rica. And speaking of the dictatorship in Argentina, we'll talk now about the broadcast by Radio Sweden that informed Argentines in Argentina what was going on in their own country, since there was a strict censorship in place and human rights violations were kept hidden by the military authorities, apart from the fact that many Argentines chose to ignore, to turn a blind eye on what was going on. During the dictatorship, censorship reached across the Rio de la Plata all the way to Radio Colonia in Uruguay, and listeners lost the chance to listening to news voiced by Ariel Delgado, a famous radio host of those days. And that's where the shortwave receivers, the Noblex Siete Mares and the Tonomax Super Platinum shortwave receivers, come in. They both came with maps and shortwave bands, so just by tuning the dial, you could take a tour of the world on radio. And breaking through censorship barriers, one could listen here in Argentina. Spanish language radio services broadcast by international stations, and listen to artists and music and content that was forbidden, that was banned here in this country. Mercedes Sosa, for example, on Radio Netherlands, or the Mothers of Plaza de Mayo Human Rights Group interviewed on Radio France International, or Julio Cortázar with a radio play that he wrote for the Deutsche Welle. During those days, one could listen to news about what was going on in our own country, broadcast by stations in other countries. Radio Sweden, in that context, deserves a special mention. Its Latin American service denounced violations of human rights that were taking place here. Stories that were not covered by local stations.
Dice que Ángel perdió unos papeles, muy importantes. Perdió unos papeles con una fecha y no sabemos si es correcta o no. Puede ser que
that's journalist Bernengo pretending to be an agent of the dictatorship working in Europe, and he called the ESMA. Detention facility here in Buenos Aires, which was the most infamous of all clandestine detention centers, a concentration camp. And, well, he talks to one of the agents working there, Luis de Imperio. And this conversation was recorded and then broadcast on Radio Sweden. Well, finally, we'll talk about radio's role during the Malvinas War. The 1982 conflict was the last radio war, so to speak. One of the first actions following the Argentine forces landing was the takeover of radio station FIBS, Falklands Islands Broadcasting Service. This station was taken on the night of April the 1st. The station continued to broadcast without interruption. Shortly afterwards, after Argentine troops landed on the islands, the studios were reconverted and turned into the studios of LRA 60, Radio Nacional Islas Malvinas, and that station immediately began broadcasting. During the conflict, the government-run international services of Argentina's radio, this station, RAE, whose director was back then Julio Lagos, a very respected radio presenter and journalist, and the UK's, that's to say the BBC, fulfilled their role as one would have expected. But there were propaganda stations from both sides that were put on the air during the conflict. The Argentine one was called Liberty, and it was personified by a sensual female voice whose aim was to demoralize the British public opinion, and particularly the troops that were on their way to our territory across the South Atlantic. The voice that had to be perfected in its English accent was that of journalist Silvia Fernández Barrio. For its part, the British Ministry of Defence seized one of the BBC transmitters on Ascension Island in the middle of the Atlantic and launched South Atlantic Radio 971, a propaganda station whose aim was to demoralize Argentine troops. Argentine troops that, however, had no shortwave receivers, so they couldn't listen to any of this. The speakers of this station pretended to be Argentine, but their accents were clearly not. They were from other places. The Argentine accent within the Spanish-speaking world is very, very distinctive. And at times, according to recordings that can be found, the translations of names were hilarious and bizarre. For example, presenters would recommend the croissants, the media lunas, of the Jardín Florida, and they would say this in Spanish. Jardín Florida has fantastic media lunas or croissants. Jardín Florida is the wrong translation of Florida Garden, a famous bar here in Buenos Aires whose name is in English. And that's how everybody knows this place, Florida Garden. So the moment you say that in Spanish, it's the moment you know that the person has no idea what they're talking about.
A partir del día de la fecha, 2 de abril de 1982, inicia su transmisión LRA Radio Islas Malvinas. Para toda la República Argentina.
Begins its transmission. LRA.
And with this, we come to the end of this program of Rai Argentina to the World in English. We hope you enjoyed this feature produced by Adrián Corol on radio stations operating in times of conflict, revolution, crisis, war, that you can find also with the sound bites and some photographs on our website. Check the content out on rai.com.ar. I'm Fernando Farias, and this was Rai Argentina to the World in English. Thank you for listening.